Hey, what's good, everyone? It is Samir. Welcome to Beat Fano Podcast. So awesome to have you back. We're super excited to share more testimony. And this week, we've got another episode. So stay tuned here on Beat Fano Podcast. Hey, what's good, everyone? Welcome to Beat Fano Podcast. And this week, we're with Shane Walker.
Get on, matey. Get on. Bless my brothers and sisters. Bless. Get on, people.
Bless is my brother. Man. So good to have you on finally, and we've been talking about this for a while, so hey, too much praise, good to finally have you, my bro.
Bless my bro, bless.
Yeah, so I guess to kick things off, how's everything been, my bro?
Everything's been all right. Well, you've been by my side for the past month. You tell me. Everything's been good, brother. Yeah. Blessed to have some good friends. Mm-hmm. You're one of them.
Oh, thank you, bro.
Just to do some music, which I really love.
Mm. Oh, epic, bro. Yeah. What I love the most is, this podcast started when I was needing some friends during lockdown, and it was hard to, be at home, not being around all the fun, you know, and it was harder when, you know, there was things going down at home. So if everyone out there, as in case you haven't already known, that was how we did it. But yeah, I guess taking us into a bit of a beginning, my bro, what was the sort of earliest memories for you of music?
Well, my earliest memories when I was young, you know, brought up with my, being around my mum and dad and grandparents and stuff, and listened to all those beautiful 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s music. And yeah, that's where it started for me.
Wow. Oh, beautiful, bro, because well, I remember at night we were with Jamesy and we were playing some more of the unknown Michael Jackson tracks. But yeah, no, that's so cool, bro. Like, I love that stuff. And now that we're going into like technology, we're making like remixes again now that we're getting stems and acapellas we never used to have and all that. So it's quite exciting.
Game changer, the technology we have today.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess, yeah, for you, did you start doing any music instruments when you were young? What was the first path towards getting into it?
Yeah, so me, when I first started off, it was live music, yeah, towards the music I do these days, which is, yeah, still record some live stuff here and there, but yeah, for me, it started with my dad. My uncle, she's pretty known for his one song. Yeah, that song. So I started off with the uncles, just playing the ukulele.
It's the one I saw the other night.
Going to playing for a few other little small time Cook Island bands too, and that's where I got my experience from. Until I hit a certain age, and because I love all different types of genres and stuff, I really stuck in love and fell in love with, you know, like soul, hip hop, R&B, reggae, mashed into something different where I like doing. Taking little pieces. Gospel. Yeah, I love like gospel too. Yeah, love the harmonies of gospel. Yeah.
Amazing,
but taking all those little attributes and mixing them into one, like little pieces of what I love, and mixing into my own style.
Oh, but that's exciting. I know we're gonna have a big geek out soon talking about production and like tech stuff, but was there a bit of time you were able to do music in school with people, or bands or just people you're around, like good memories of getting
Bro, I used to go to a school, it's been like 4 years over there. It's called Kia Aroha now, but back then it was called Clover Park Middle School, and there would be me and a few schoolmates and stuff, and yeah, because we had music setups at school, so drums, guitar, bass, the ukulele, and play our own, make our own little band, make our own jams up and stuff.
It's amazing. Oh, very. And was there much stuff around there at the time for recording, or was it mostly just jamming live, like in terms of computer stuff?
Nah, there was no recording those days. If you knew a place, I think the closest thing to having recording those was my first time I've ever recorded in my whole life. It was like year 2004, me and my bro Daniel Gunner, called Skeet, and his other cousin, my other bro Maru, they used to call him Blurry back then. We had found out that, you could, back in the days, you know, your cassette tapes, so there'd be a deck on this side, a deck on this side, and what you could do is, my dad had a small drum machine, and he had a piano, so you could hook that drum machine up to the aux into the radio, yeah. And you can make beats on there, but there's no copying and pasting then.
Yeah.
You have to try and get it perfect from start to finish for 3 minutes, and then once we're finished that, you flip the two tapes over,
yep,
to different sides now, and you play that, the beat will play, and you can record another instrument.
Yeah.
So I'll put the piano and stuff,
exactly,
on that, and then I'll flip the tapes again, and then I'll grab a guitar or something, wow, start playing, and keep on doing it. But the more you do it, the more noise comes, so it starts sounding like,
exactly, that's right.
You can still hear it, and then we'll start putting our vocals and put more harmonies in. You could just hear it a little bit, but you could still hear a lot of,
yeah, a lot of that just would have been coming in.
But you know, it was a buzzword, like,
yeah, it's actually being saved. Yeah. That's probably the only way to save stuff. And I heard Anonymous had come through the same sort of experiences. That's really cool. Especially for us to remember and see that. But like, yeah, was there sort of any advances in technology from there? Or was there any sort of things you did? Because that was during school, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then was there stuff that was happening for you with music after school? What was the sort of journey from there, my bro?
After school, my music would be, how can I put this? I'd still be doing music in a way. For example, like, I was in a cultural group for years. Yeah, Cook Island dance group, and that's another, that's another part of music too as well.
Oh man, that's amazing. So you were actually a proper dancer. That's cool. And
I've actually won a Cook Island competition once.
Wow.
That was my life, part of my life story, and part of my life a few years ago. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one day I looked at myself and I thought, holy shit, bro, I've lost like freaking 80 kilos.
Yeah.
I was the fat boy in X-Men, I was the skinniest one.
And you're having fun the whole time.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So was that here in Auckland?
Yeah, brother. Yeah. Otara.
Wow. Otara. Well, was there any sort of other memories of Otara? Because the OMAC wasn't there at that point, was it?
Yep.
Or it was?
It's always been there.
Had you been in there at all around that time?
Yeah, I've been in there, brother. I used to go in there when I was young, but maybe they didn't know who I was. I've been there. Now I'm the type of kid where I'm not shy and don't care about anyone and just walk into places. And that's how I really found OMAC. So these people were singing in there, jamming, and I thought,
yeah.
So I walked in there. There's a store, I can see people recording or something. I just go open the door, and the engineer just looks at me like, excuse me, can you get out? Yeah. I've done that a few times, but I kept on kicking around, and I met, brother Matt, Anonymous.
Yes.
But I've also met him previous too, because we used to have school trips over there, and he'll play his piano and stuff. By being there, that was the first time being by myself. I was going in there, looking and stuff, getting told to get out. Then meeting a couple bros, a good brother named Edmund from Otara, sort of let us in and let us kick it for a bit and watch the music scene. That was my first taste of looking at a whole studio, like, this is what I want to do with my life one day.
That was a pretty good studio for the time too, right?
Ah, yeah, bro. To me, it looked like the stuff in America.
Yeah, and it kind of was at the time, right?
Yeah, but,
wow, there we go. Oh man, what a great time to be alive. Was there much other memories of like OMAC? Because I'm very curious about the place, like you say, for how long it's been around.
Mm.
And me being from Palmerston North, not knowing about it, but seeing how much it has gone back and people would speak about it, even the Brother Ed and different people. Was there like much sort of DJ stuff back then, or was that still quite early days before vinyl stuff?
Yeah, there was, but there wasn't really me.
Yeah. But it was probably happening around that era and stuff. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Well, very cool. Let's move on, getting a bit older and, was there like any things after the dance? Was there a bit of work or what sort of like was the next sort of parts of your journey? Was it music or?
Well, the next part of my journey was, I got locked up.
Yes, there we go.
Locked up.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I don't want to go into detail of the crimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there was like, I guess, in a way, was music still in your head? Because, you know, there was nothing else really there, right? Like being locked up. I mean, that kind of, in a way,
yeah,
would probably have music in your head a lot.
Oh, yeah, but all day, every day. Yeah. Because for me, music is like a feeling.
Yes, yes. Mm. And you can create the feeling just through imagining the beats in your head, right?
Mm.
So that's quite cool, and right?
Chords.
Yeah, chords.
Major is happy, yeah. Minor is sad.
You can create the chords in your head. Were you like someone who kind of imagined up the drums and the chords, like just whatever in your, was there a favorite instrument for you? Were you a sort of drum, like you always into drums?
I'm into anything and everything.
Yeah,
whatever sounds cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, that's it. Getting like into rapping or singing, what was like your passion around that time?
At that time, my passion was rapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the hip hop stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. Didn't wanna, wasn't really a singer, and I still didn't class myself as a singer. And I was brought up in a hood where singing, you know, people was like, ah, bro, you're singing fucking homos here. Nah, not listen to that shit. But, bro, all along, bro, we know that, bro, once the boy's not around, you know, bro, you're listening to those songs.
Yeah.
Like for me, back those days, you know, Ice Cube,
yes.
Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem, DMX, and then when I go home, nobody's around. Ah, I play my old school songs, Spice Girls, Venga Boys,
yes.
Boyzone,
yes.
Five,
yeah, I was definitely Five, yeah, wow, Michael Jackson.
Oh, bro, he's like the epitome of
Prince, yeah.
Your music,
Stevie Wonder.
Those are all my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you ever like play this sort of? Because even at that time, there was probably still a lot of people playing Zapp and Roger.
Yeah. I think most of us. I can't speak for everyone in New Zealand, but what I do know though is that for me myself, now I'm inspired by the black music. Yeah, that is my favorite. Wow. That's my favorite of music.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so cool, Warren.
To me, I look at them as the music kings.
Oh, yeah. And Tupac as well, right?
There was brother.
Big dick then, yeah. That's very cool, bro. And was there, tell us a bit about, by the time you were out of being locked up, what was the sort of time in, like, the year, like 2000?
This was year 2002.
Yeah. And so tell us, like,
beginning of year 2002, I got locked up.
Music. Just for people out there who don't know too much about their New Zealand music history, do you remember or recall some of the big New Zealand, like musos, artists?
Anyone's I really knew was like Scribe, Savage. They Hamo had just come out with the song, "We Gonna Rock, We Gonna Roll, We Gonna Set This Party on Fire, We Gonna Ride Tonight." And I went, that was like a bit of a hit in our hood. And then when we saw these flyers, like it was Waitangi Day at Hammond Park in Manukau, and I saw Te Hamo, and me and my bros were like, oh yeah, we're going, that's us. And then we get over there, and then there's this fella at the back, "We gonna rock, we gonna roll, we gonna set this party on fire, yeah. Yeah, just a little stupid thing. But anyway, fucking flat bastards. that fella who was singing, I was starstruck, like, man, who is this fella? Bro, he's the best voice I've ever heard in my whole life. And his voice sort of, by far, definitely not fucking the same as me. He's just, he's just too top notch, too good. But the tone, a teeny bit, you know, when I was in school, people used to think, oh, you know, you have they used to say husky, and my voice, I was like, this is like a husky or something. It was just a stupid voice. That's why I didn't really sing, when I come to the Cook Island gyms and stuff. I'm like, nah. And then when I heard him, it gave me confidence.
Yeah,
like,
it's a cool voice. Yeah,
he sounds good. And all the people love it.
It's a cool voice, yeah.
And I'm gonna sing
it. It's a unique voice, and it has a lot of potential to start ranging out in different tones and pitches. So it's very cool, bro. So he had that style, and it's amazing now that you say that. I recognize that. Blurred Line, Thin Line, I got introduced to that through my bro Teva Valentine. He was part of the Lockdown 06 crew at the time, and when I was very young, I was like 15, 16, getting around to hear that track and then being like, what is that track? You know, and to know that Thin Line was actually quite big back in the day, that was my first taste of hearing Chongni ever. But that song caught me up because of the production quality, bro. Hey, like the vocals were cool, but did you get to see him, like, or other people actually in the midst of producing in those sort of, in those days, those early 2000s? Obviously you might have seen maybe one or two people at Omek Away, but were there any like memories?
Nah.
Or not really? It was nah. kind of like a big thing to be in
I
a studio.
I didn't see
really,
one or
yeah.
know anyone. I would have loved to back
yeah,
then, but
yeah.
I didn't see no
it
one.
Wasn't a big
no one at the same time, you know, got caught up in crime and
yeah.
being a young troubled adolescent.
Yeah. It would have been such a big thing just to find like any gear of that sort of type back then. So that makes sense. But that was really cool that you had those peeps that were visible in those early 2000 years. And yeah, that kind of leads me on to the history, like moving forward. Yeah, what was the sort of next steps for you? Because were you starting to get inspired like to sing or rap after, you know, seeing peeps like Chong Lee and that?
Getting inspired to sing in a way where I'd start to sing my hooks instead of rapping them. Yeah.
So that was a little taste. So still at the time you weren't really able to record much. What was the closest way to get things down? Were you just pen and paper, or what were you doing? Just in your head, talking out, just singing out?
Yeah, that and pen and paper.
Yeah, No, that's very cool, bro. No, that's cool.
My first recording come from, like when I started to, actually first time ever set up, like, oh, I can make beats and oh, I can record my voice with a mic and stuff, is when my dad, he first got, I don't know where he got it from, I can't remember right at this moment, but he got a computer, and then, that's it, my Uncle John Masters, gave my dad a program called Fruit Loops and Cool Edit, and that was the first time, like, oh, look at this program, makes beats, well, you can put anything on it, and then, yeah, I was hooked after that.
Wow.
Done my first song, I cringed so much, I only heard it once. 2 years ago, my cousin had it when
he still had it.
Oh, cringy song. Nah, he had it.
Yeah, for
I don't
a
know
time
if he still has it, but I cringe when I was like, do you remember this?
Wow.
He's like, get out of this misery. This misery. Oh man, it's so cringy.
Yeah, cringy because it's just the same. Yeah,
get
yeah.
out of this misery.
But it's bigger. I think at that time, it's just yeah, the big step to even get to that far, you know. With, having Fruit Loops Cool Edit. So that was obviously Windows, because there's pretty much two options. If you had money, you might have had a Mac. I know that Macs at the time were actually not too, like, you know, uncommon. Like, there were still people with Macs around that time, eh? Like,
yeah.
Because that's when they first really pushed the needle. Windows 90, was it Windows 98? That was a right, yeah, because that's literally called 98. And yeah, I guess was computers something everyone was starting to get, and like obviously everything was quite big and boxy. Yeah, like did you find that it was quite slow or quite hard as like someone who's like, you know, like only just getting?
Nah, because I don't know anything about computers.
And how old
like,
are you?
Like, you're only whatsoever. But back then I was 18. That would have been like year 2005 or 2006, and back then I knew nothing whatsoever about computers, like nothing.
So you had to be pretty like wealthy to have it pretty much at that time too, eh?
My dad had a computer after that, we were like, yeah.
Wow, yeah, and do you have any kind of good, because this was the time as well that PlayStation, like you said, PlayStation 1 was really, you know, still going hard. Like, I think, was PlayStation 2 around the corner as well, right? Xbox?
Nah, I think, nah. I'm pretty sure PlayStation 2 came out like probably year 2001, year 2002,
wow.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it was around about the time, because that was the first game that ever came out where you could play DVDs on there.
Yeah. Right, and rather than just the game. Oh man, so it's been around. And we were just talking the other day, like, man, some good memories of some of those games, Crash Bandicoot. Did you kind of enjoy the music in the games? Because that's kind of
not for me. Oh yeah, for the Need for Speed, hard. Like a dog without a bone, riders from the storm.
Yeah, man, that was one of my full-time favorites, and I think they had Usher here.
Yeah.
So that was some cool memories. That's cool. I'm sort of moving us along to more recent times. What was the introduction for you feeling like you could actually get music out there? Because obviously before we could just do it ourselves with distribution, there would be people like DRM, and that was back when it was really still a thing. Were you starting to get music released quite a while back, or what was
My first release, proper release, like all on all platforms, was only 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yet I'd been doing it for years, but back then I just done it just for, the main reason was when I die one day, my kids and my family can listen to my voice. But I didn't know I could actually make money or
it didn't come to mind.
Didn't register back then. I just done it because I love it. I still do it now.
Back in that day, you could just share MP3s around and like just put things up on YouTube.
I started getting a good name there where people run like, oh, that's just dope.
So YouTube was pretty much the big thing back then in terms of music too, right? Like you'd have your Bebo, your MySpace, YouTube, and these were pretty much back then the equivalents to what we have now, or distribution, Spotify. So I'm guessing were you like into Bebo? Were you into Bebo? Did you have a Bebo?
Yeah, I had a Bebo.
Some of the music
stuff. No, I never only been on there like 5 or 6 times, but one of my girlmates made it for me because I've never even heard of it. And bro, that was around about year 2008.
How about MySpace?
Nah. I've heard of it,
because there was a lot of New Zealand music.
It wasn't really technology, man. That wasn't my thing. Yeah. I think the only thing I really enjoyed is just texting or calling somebody.
That was a big thing, wasn't it? Like, even for me, I was such a youngin, but like, obviously.
And the first time I've ever had a Facebook was year 2015.
Wow. And you say she came a bit later to the party. I was a bit earlier than you.
So actually, only 7 years.
I think I've had mine well over 10. So yeah, that's like for you, technology was always there. It's just certain parts of it, that you sort of find that, you kind of just naturally get caught up in it though. Have you noticed that? Like before I didn't think I was going to have a Facebook, because my parents said, don't have a Facebook to me. But the moment I turned 13, I think I was 12 actually. I couldn't wait. Got one when I was 12.
Your mum wouldn't let you have one until you turned a certain age or something.
No, I think there was actually a rule, and I was thinking, oh, what if my mum finds that I've broken the rule? That's when I get in big trouble. And the school was saying, they said you got to be 13. And all the people at school were breaking the rules, and I was trying to be the goody good. And then I ended up doing, it's like, ooh, wait, Rupert, 1 year before, look at me, Mr.
But she doesn't know, eh?
No, but even she does, it's all cool. But the reason I bring this all up, bro, is because we were just on the other night looking back down memory lane with things like C4. And, bro, we jumped into the LimeWire bus. we looked at LimeWire.
That was funny.
Yeah, bro. So,
yeah, that was a memory lane.
Yeah. Did you have many other friends that were into the LimeWire, bro?
I actually didn't even know anything about LimeWire, and the only friend I knew she was the one who showed me is my brother. Shout out to the brother Stuff.
Wow.
His name's Halen Carpenter.
Yeah.
He showed me what LimeWire was because he was actually the first one in my life, year 2005 I believe it was.
Wow.
Where he's like, he had his computer and I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
With the CD. He's like, oh, bro, I'm burning songs. I was like, what do you mean burning? What's burning?
What is burning?
And he goes, oh, bro, so the CD over here, you know, music, because I was still into my tapes then.
Yes.
He's like, bro, did you know that you can put your CD into the CD-ROM, and then you've got this software here, it's called LimeWire, and you could download any of your favorite songs, bro.
Tripping out.
It was like, fuck yeah, for me, I couldn't believe it because, like I said, I'm not into technology.
And it
made me think, holy shit,
you can actually do possible. That. Yeah.
And he showed me, he burnt it down.
Yeah.
He downloaded them and then he burnt them down.
And then, shortly after was when the whole thing, remember when people were just sharing music between phones? You could just share on Bluetooth. Yeah, so it's kind of like the same time, bro. It's cool, bro. So
then from then it went from, you remember infrared?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Was that another one?
Bro, infrared was like this. Like you had a song on your phone, and bro, you put them both together, and they have to touch.
Yes. it had to be so close. Mm. And people thought at school, that's right, it wasn't Bluetooth, it was infrared.
Yeah, infrared.
Oh, you see some memory of everyone tuning in. Infrared. This is like Tamagotchi's time. Eva. Tamagotchi time. Oh, that's cool, bro. Man, infrared. There's some blasts from the past, Eva. Well, man, that kind of brings us more towards recent times of, yeah, the engagements, the sort of fellowship, the community. Yeah, in the last few years, I think it's been cool to see your music reach the world. I think when I found out about Testify was one of the first times I properly heard you on a song, because I had only come across Border Sticks. And what happened was I was listening to Testify, but then all the other music was coming off on YouTube, like Kia Orana, the one out when the music video shot on the beach. What was that one called?
Kia Orana.
Yeah, Kia Orana. And then what's the other one? That was with Ikao, Love You Mum. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Show you that I care because I love you, Mum.
These were just coming up for me every
to make you cry.
Yeah, man. I just love these tracks. And then
there's tracks,
one, there was one other track, I forgot the name. What's your name? I think that one came up too.
Yeah, that's it.
That was another big one. So tell us a little bit about, yeah, that was the beginning of getting releases. And when did you meet up with, like, Border Sticks?
I met the brother Buddha in the year 2020. Would have been the day, the month of probably like March or April. And
yeah,
I was online one day, and this Buddha Sticks kept on popping up. I think Facebook, they I don't know, there's a software or program that can tell what's for you,
yes,
like what's your
yes.
type of videos that you watch and stuff. And yes. he kept on popping up because I like always watch music stuff.
That's how I felt. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then he popped up, and then. I started looking at him thinking, no, this fella's not too bad. And then the next day it just got different and even better and yeah. even better. Like, oh, this fella is a similar style like me, where I'm not one genre.
Yeah,
like I love things in different genres.
Yeah.
And he was doing it.
He was doing
it. Oh man, I gotta hook up with this dude. And yes. that's how we hooked up. I ended up bringing him.
Wow.
Became good friends, and the rest is history.
History.
Now we're doing music. Shout out, brother Buddha.
That's amazing.
Tame.
And but before him, it's like there was definitely music friends you still, you know, that would probably still know if you shoot them out. But I think it was cool because that was that the beginning of Team Music, or was it before he was starting?
That was the beginning of Team Music, brother. Yeah. March, April, May, June, July, August, when me and him was talking on the phone one day, and like, brother, would you be interested in starting a music team? Just joking around on while talking for hours and hours. Next minute, I can't remember if it was him or me. And I'm like, bro, we'll just name the. What about the music group? Just. What about just. Tame? What about. Tame? Tame music. Tame.
Tame.
You started laughing for the next fucking whole year. Just
yeah.
Tame.
It's all it is, tame.
Every time the bro would call or I'd call, and the phone picks up straight away, video call. See each other, team. Joking about it, and then now we're actually a team.
Yeah, that's it. So that was the people I started seeing. Yeah, is let's see. So yeah, just for everyone out there, who else pretty much is Team Music? Because the brother David Kimmy, yeah, been part of it.
Brother James E. Roo. There's another fellow named Lamachi. Do you know who he is?
Yes, I know.
Please enlighten me.
Yes, Lamachi joined Team Music recently. He was just sort of, I guess, in the shadows of all the house techno. So
the king.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, it was making a bit of reggae and hip hop. But yeah, I just loved that there was a bit of a electronic element in what I heard in Team Music, and man, that was quite cool. So yeah, and then is Ikal in it too? Is just part of a song?
No.
Part of
he's the man though.
Yeah, shout out Ikal. So that's really cool because seeing that all the brothers came together mostly online, right? I mean, is David Kimmy another, like,
he's another musician, brother. I like his guitar licks. Yeah, he's got some mean guitar licks.
So you guys just came across each other. I mean, James, he was quite like you when we went back, came back with music, and everyone had their own story. But did you guys just find each other online in terms of actually
creating. Nah. Jamesy, I've known him since he was a kid. He's my cousin.
Nice. Mm. Jamesy knew too. And David?
Oh, Dave, I met him actually when I started working at this company called The Service Company in 2016.
Wow. Mm. The Service. Mm. Oh, so yeah, it's amazing. Sometimes you meet people and you don't realize you're going to be doing music like that. So that's quite cool, bro. Yeah, so that talks a lot about, yeah, how I obviously found you guys, especially you, brother. And yeah, to have you on the podcast is really cool because I think in the 1 year that I've been here in Auckland, it was like a big shift from me just wanting to meet you guys to you me actually meeting you guys.
Yeah.
And I had always just popped up in the holidays. So Regal Records, I remember that was a thing with the show where I went in and I saw Buddha, but then I just saw, you know, a lot of.
Did you come that night?
I did come, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't there for long.
It was a good night.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I saw so much people were.
That's what I mean.
It was overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, I, at the time, like I said, didn't realize it was Chogny. I was kind of like, oh, you know, looks familiar. Looks like someone I should be talking to. Yeah, I didn't know who he was. And yeah, like I said, it was just so cool to finally meet Dick. Because I didn't realize that I would catch up with Nofal, who's been on this podcast,
who
ended up being in Foundation. But I didn't even know Chogny was in Foundation. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Bro, I didn't even know there was a band called Foundation. And then I met him and it was like, oh, my band, Foundation. Like, oh, and they started hearing their music. Like, oh man. And I usually need to be on the world platform.
Yes.
Yeah, they got some awesome music.
Exactly. So shouts to all of them.
Yeah, shouts to the Foundation.
But I had always seen some of those guys on Facebook, like Jamie Leaf, on quite a few years.
Yeah.
I think even before I came across you. So, like, for those peeps tuning in there, like, you know, some names that kind of like bring you back to some good times and memories. We're always keen to hear more of it. But is there any bit more nostalgia, bro? Like, anything you wanted to share, or like other little highlights along the way, or big achievements for you and your music?
The achievement at the moment I'm happy is that you know, I've been able to release music without, see, back in the days, you know, the mind frame and, you know, the thought process was you need to be a part of a record label, anything in order to breakthrough.
Yeah, with managers and all of that.
But then the fine breakthrough, my breakthrough was that, no, I'm happy that I have more, I have actually 1,000 people that actually listen to my music. I would have been happy with one, but I've got heaps of people that listen to my music now, and it kind of makes me happy that they're happy, makes me proud that they're proud of me too as well, especially my Cook Island people, because let's be realistic, man, when it comes to music and in a poly perspective, you know, there's a lot of talented Samoans and Tongans, heaps of Maoris.
Exactly.
Bad talent. You hardly hear a Cook Island artist there. You know, Cook Island descent artist.
Yes, they really can.
Yeah. I'm half Maori, but yeah, they're both my sides, and you know, I see a lot of Cook Islanders these days where they're like, you know, proud because of the music that I'm doing.
Yes.
I push out the 682, which is our area code for the Cook Islands.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And I started seeing those numbers, as the 682, and even other numbers they represent, you know, area codes, all that. But that's so cool, bro. I think for everyone tuning in, that's like a great chance for them, especially if they haven't listened to much Pacific music, Maori music, Cook Island music, is they can get in and learn about some of the talent that's there, especially like good friends that they don't realize, you got awesome music. So yeah, just encouraging us to support each other, really. And what I add, but you know, it's quite cool being able to listen and see some of our brothers that I had met, like the brother Ed, Sweet and I, you know, being played on radio still, because I think there's a lot of positivity in this, all this culture, you know, of what music means, like, you know, for Cook Island Maori and Pacific. It's actually a lot of it comes back to God and finding hope and finding positivity, bro, which is really something I think we can all learn from, brother. Like, in all cultures, it's just family, faith, belief. So it's so cool, bro. And You know, obviously there's always going to be those tracks that are a little bit more aggressive or a little bit more out there, but that's so cool. Well, man, just kind of wrapping up, what's your sort of last words of things to come, or little words for anyone out there wanting to get into anything, whether it be music?
If you want to get into music and be like a true artist and do it as for business and stuff, or even just a passion, just doing it, it's real hard, eh? Like in the great words of my bro Poetic when I was starting off, like legitly, like 2 years ago when I wanted to pursue this as a career, he told me, Solo, you know, this music game is a headache. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, brother, this could cause you a divorce, a breakup. And now I've been doing it 2 years as a career, like real hard. I understand now, because, you know, you got to have a strong-headed partner or someone to be by your side, because if they're not feeling right, or, you know, they get stressed every now and then, or you go out and do gigs and there's heaps of chicks and stuff like
that comes with
you know, what's their mental state like, and you know, some of them can't handle it, or things just won't work. But if you have a strong-minded part of pursuing the music career is either single or having a partner that believes in your career, and they will stand by you to the bitter end, that's part of the key to success for your music.
And even people are just doing things like radio, because I think I've noticed in the music world, I would see, not dysfunctions, but I see, like, you know, things where, you know, things can very easily escalate, even in things that you wouldn't expect, like just radio hosts or
people
behind the scenes, backstages, you know, people doing engineering even. So there's so many paths, and I like to try and cover them all. But I think there's some great words there of just being aware of the people around you and yourself. And how far you're willing to sacrifice for, you know?
So, amen. Amen.
Yeah, so, yeah, thanks everyone for your love and support getting us this far at Beat Whānau. Can't wait to keep bringing you the testimony. And so if you've enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to share it with your friends and family and share it out there on the internet. And also feel free to try and support us if you can. Let us know your ideas for what you think would be cool. Maybe merch, maybe exclusive sample packs from your favorite producers. Whatever you think would
be. You know what would be cool?
Oh, yes.
If they all got a hiding. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. A surprise. A special prize.
Just to add one little small note, you know, some people might get the wrong impression. Like, huh? What did he say? What? Like somebody beat us up? Nah. In my interpretation of a hiding, you know, far, like, I hope you get a hiding. The way I use it is, how can I explain it? I'll try to explain it within 20 seconds. Okay, then. Think, Shane. Get a hiding, like, you know, you're too fucking awesome. You're so awesome that I hope you get whacked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're like, too awesome.
Hey, just like the Bubberettes.
But really, I hope you do not get whacked. Just my phrase. I hope you get a hiding. Which is sort of saying, bro, you're too fucking cool. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, get yourself a hiding, cuz.
You're so fucking cool. I like you so much that, fuck, I hope you get yourself a hiding.
Yeah, so that's the power of how much we love your talent. It's too good, man. So New Zealand music all the way. Stay tuned, and without further ado, this has been Beat Whānau Podcast. Peace and love, Whānau.
Peace and love, kia ola na.
Well, everyone, that was another Beat Whānau podcast. Super blessed to have you tuned in. We're going to have some amazing podcasts coming up, so stay tuned. Tell a friend if you enjoyed this one. Leave us a great review, and we'll catch you back for some more Beat Whānau podcasts. Peace and love, Whānau.